On behalf of the Professional Baseball Strength and Conditioning Coaches Society, I'd like to welcome you to the PBSCCS podcast. I'm your host, Chris Messina. All right, everybody, I'm here with Al Sandoval of the Texas Rangers organization. Al, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate your time. Tell the listeners about yourself, if you would, please.
Chris, before I get going with myself, thank you, man. Thank you for doing this. I think it's great for us, our field, and our profession. Giving everybody the platform to learn from one another, I think that's huge. All of us go through the same day-to-day grind, but we only get to see our organization's perspective for a lot. So it's great work. Appreciate what you're doing. So thank you for putting this together. A little bit about myself, Al Sandoval, been strength and conditioning 12 years, spent 5 years with Colorado in the minor league system, left the Rockies organization for a full-time position. Back when I first started, they were basically all internships. So we've come a long, long way. But I went over to the Angels, spent 2 years in AA with them. And then I was the coordinator for 3 years. And then last year was my first year with the Texas Rangers. And I was in High A, which I'll be there again this year in Kinston, North Carolina, at the High A affiliate with the Texas Rangers.
Perfect. First of all, thank you for the kind words. Very much appreciated. And then, like you said, you've been all over. You've been in the minor leagues as an intern. You've been full-time. You've been coordinator. Talk about the differences that you've experienced between being a coordinator and being at an affiliate.
There's a lot of differences and a lot of similarities. I guess the best way I could put it is, in reality, being a coach really like taught me and teaches you how to become a coordinator. And I say that just because when you're a coach, you learn how to establish these relationships with players. I mean, you learn to teach the whys. You learn how to communicate not only with players, but with your day-to-day staff that you have. And then the front office that comes, you know, throughout your clubhouse all the time. As you know, we always get questions, not only from players, but sometimes from staff, sometimes from front office. So I always kind of took great pride when I was a coach to really understand our philosophies, our principles, and the whys of our program. So when people ask questions, you know, I can explain it to them in a positive manner for the department. So that really helped a lot. Like I say, those are the stepping stones. Obviously, more experience you have, the more comfortable you are talking those terms and stuff with those type of people. And then the other thing, I was fortunate enough with the Rockies. Brian Jordan gave me a lot of leeway to work on different training models and things like that with our players that we had in the minor league system, and really just allowed me to kind of like go do things, go try things. And that was huge for me. That kind of helped build my thought processes and beliefs. I mean, I've knocked my head along the way. Obviously, luckily, nobody got hurt doing stuff. But I'm sure just like you, when you start writing programs and stuff, you think, oh, yeah, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And now, 10 years later, you're like, golly, I can't believe I did that. So, like I said, just going through that process, I had the same type of leeway with the Angels over there, which was awesome. So just learning, like taking all those years and using that to learn not only how to communicate, but fine tune my training programs and things like that. That led me to become a coordinator. I guess the big difference with being a coordinator is you're in charge of structuring a system and a program for your players. And you have to structure it in a way that can fit the malnutrition, no training age kid in the Dominican Republic, all the way to your guys who are in AA and AAA, have a lot of experience with high training age. So, you know, it kind of being that coordinator lets you to see a global perspective of things and try to come up with something that's not 100%, you know, everybody's doing this, but a good skeleton from your principles and beliefs that your coaches can run with and kind of work with the guys. So like, again, like I said, me learning my training style and what I believe was best for the players, when I became the coordinator, it just really allowed me to solidify and kind of put it in paper and put those ideas down. But for me, the most important part of being a coordinator was coaching my coaches. again, you come up with a program, you come up with a philosophy, but your coaches are the boots on the ground. I mean, doesn't matter how good your program is on paper if you don't have people there to teach it. So I took like great pride in, I'm not going to be able to see these guys every day like they are. And I understood that. So I took a lot of pride in kind of mentoring my coaches, giving them ownership in our program. I mean, having meetings with them, basically laying the stuff out. This is what I believe in, but hey, let's talk about it. What do you guys see? What am I missing? Am I missing something? And so kind of giving them and allowing them the opportunity to think outside the box and not just say, here, go do this with everybody and send me a two-week report type of a thing. So I took a lot of pride. And that was kind of the different thing, was it was our thought process and our message, not mine. And that's kind of the way I wanted to do it. So that was the biggest thing for me. It was the same effort and love that I gave the players as a coach, I tried to give to my coaches so they could reiterate that to the players. So that, I guess that was the kind of main difference. But as far as experiences and stuff, obviously you have to deal with the more business side of things at times. I mean, you're on the phone a lot more with front office and different coordinators and staff. But again, it's no different. You learn that at the minor league level. I mean, you've been in pro ball a long time. You've talked to coordinators all the time. You talk to the farm director when they ask you questions. So it's just more of a one-on-one relationship with those guys, but it's really nothing different, or it wasn't in my personal experience.
Yeah, a lot of the people that I've talked to have kind of warned me that being a coordinator is a lot of paperwork and not a lot of floor time. And in my mind, that means more coaching of the coaches themselves. So it's really refreshing to hear you say that, that is the perspective you took, instead of, oh, I have to do this paperwork, I can't coach athletes. It's, well, I can still coach somebody, I'm going to coach the coaches up. So kudos to you on that one. Speaking of one of your former coaches that you had under you, I had Danny on recently, and he told me to make sure to ask you about working at Lauren Landau's place. So one of the things that, in my mind anyways, working at an affiliate is you get an off season, and it seems like you're taking advantage of the off season. So can you tell me a little bit about that? I'd love to hear more.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. I love Danny. Danny's a tremendous strength coach and a good human being. So I'm glad you're able to talk with him. I was fortunate enough. I've known Orlando for quite some time now. Met him through a former minor league strength coach, Chase Latimer. He did his internship under Lauren Landau, and now Chase works for Boris's company and does all their strength and conditioning. But he was with me with the Rockies, and that's how I got introduced to Lauren. Over the time, I just had a relationship with Lauren. We knew each other very well, but never really went in and took full advantage of the opportunity of having him right across the street. So, I mean, this off season, I went down to his performance center. I usually talk to him. I try to talk to him right when I get back every off season. And went in and just talked with him, and our conversation got rolling. And I just really asked him, to tell you the truth, you know, I have a couple guys that I work with in the off season. I love to do it here, but I also asked him just to follow him around. As you know, or I think very, very highly of him and how he coaches and how he trains. And he's a big guy that I listen to in podcasts and other things like that. So I just straight up asked him, would you mind if I came and shadowed you and your staff and, go about it that way? And he said, absolutely. You know, so he welcomed me with open arms, and he's been tremendous with me, allowing me to go in and watch him train his football guys, his MMA athletes. I've been really busy right now, but I'm going to go start following him around and watch him do his combine prep with those guys. But the biggest thing with me was just going in and learning his cueing. A lot of us do wall drills. A lot of us do A skips. A lot of us do different things, but everybody looks for something different. Everybody kind of says something different. We all want to get to that same end result, but he's one of the best of the best. And that's the biggest thing that I've learned for him, is finding things to look for. Cause his eyes are unbelievable. I mean, he'll catch things in live action that it takes slow-mo for a lot of people to see. And then his analysis of that stuff has been tremendous. So I've learned a lot from him, just on movement efficiency, speed mechanics, which I think we need to do a lot more of in baseball, is actually teaching and fine tuning movement efficiency when it comes to running. So being able to watch him and his coaches coach, he has a tremendous staff over there. very knowledgeable, very, very good people. And I mean, it's been a privilege to go over there because they welcomed me with open arms. And like I said, I hope they've learned something from me because I've learned a lot from them over there. It's been a really good experience.
That's so awesome to hear that he's so open and just having you shadow him and learn from him even after all his years, he could have easily just shut you down, but that's awesome to hear that he's a good guy like that.
Oh yeah, tremendous, man. He loves this field and this profession, and again, he wants it to get better, and he understands that the more knowledgeable people that we have in the profession and the field, the better it is for all of us. So he's been awesome, man. I have nothing but positive thing to say about Lauren.
That's really cool, man. That's probably a whole nother episode in itself. I could pick your brain for an hour on that one. But what do you believe in within strength and conditioning that others think you are crazy for believing? You've seen a lot in the minor leagues. You're working at private facilities now. I'm sure you've seen some crazy things, but what do you believe in that's crazy?
I don't know if it's crazy, and I really don't know if this falls under our department, but it has more and more as of recent years. I don't like the term. And I don't believe in the term injury prevention. I think a lot of strength guys / ATCs now are, when they talk to front offices, we're doing this for injury prevention. This is injury prevention. I just believe that it's a false premise to tell my athletes, if you do X, Y will not happen. I just don't feel comfortable telling them that. Obviously, we're going to do everything to physically prepare them for what's ahead of them in competition and stuff. But I just think that that's something that's been overblown now. We've both been around athletes who do everything and anything that we ask of them. I mean, they work hard. They stay extra. I mean, their work ethic's through the roof. And in sport, unfortunately, just things happen. One day they go out and it's a wet ground. It's in April. Cold, cold day, wet ground. They're going out to first. They peel out. Boom, hamstring. I mean, that happens to the guy that works his tail off for you. And then you'll have guys who do the bare minimum. They do what you ask, but they do the bare minimum effort, and they never get hurt. So I guess I kind of, that's one of the things in strength and conditioning that I guess I don't like. And people might think I'm crazy because they're like, well, no, that's what we're here to do. And for me, no, we're not here to say we're preventing injury. We're here to say we're physically preparing these guys for everything that's going to be ahead of them. So I guess that would be my one thing that I kind of don't like or disagree with.
Yeah, a lot of my mentors have taught me it's reducing the risk of injury, but you're never actually preventing injury. Like you said, just sport is too chaotic, man, where sometimes things just happen and it is what it is. But I'm right on board with you there, man. So what do you believe makes a strength and conditioning coach quote unquote successful?
Two things. I think one, passion for the profession. That passion for the profession obviously leads you to always continuing your education, whether it be going and shadowing, following mentors, reading. There's so much information at our hands right now. And I believe having passion for the profession will lead you to be successful. And when I say like even continuing education, a lot of times people only want to go look and research what they believe in already, to where I'm a big believer in try to prove yourself wrong, really validate what you're doing, go and look what others are saying that kind of oppose your thought process. So I guess, with that passion, it's kind of really validate what you're doing, looking at people that agree with you, but also people that disagree with you. And then the second thing, obviously one is very important. But I believe the separator, once you kind of get that experience and you kind of know who you are as a strength coach, the communication aspect. I think sometimes strength coaches get too indulged in the X's and O's, which is very, very important. But, I mean, I'm a big believer if you can't teach and if you can't communicate the whys to a player, a staff, or a front office, all the knowledge in the world means nothing. So, I mean, nowadays I like to read a strength and conditioning book, and then I like to read a leadership / communication book, kind of breaking it up to where, see how other people learn, see how to communicate messages with, just a bunch of different people. So I guess that would be my two things: is have passion to continue to learn, and then number two, be able to communicate what you've learned, because all that knowledge means nothing if you can't talk about it.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, man. It's kind of that old saying that, like, no matter how good your program is, if you can't get buy-in and teach it and communicate it effectively, it doesn't really matter. So, right there with you on that one. I like that you said, too, that you're reading strength and conditioning, you're reading leadership. Like, sometimes we just get bogged down and just reading the same old stuff over and over and over and not expanding. So, if you're interested, I just finished The Quarterback Whisperer last night. And I mean, it doesn't necessarily apply to baseball, but the leadership there and how to communicate with different players was really, really good. So I will recommend that one to you. Bruce Arians, the Arizona Cardinals head coach.
I'll get on that one next.
For sure, man. Easy read. And I'm probably going to hand it out to a few people just because I think it'll help them with their communicating with players. But along those lines, you talk about continuing ed. What books are you reading? What podcasts are you listening to? Are you attending seminars? Where are you going for your own education?
Continue with ed. I mean, I always go to winter meetings. I started going to winter meetings when I became a coordinator, and I believe that that's very beneficial. It's getting better as time has gone on, as the field has expanded. So I always try to go to that. I want to try to make it out to the Altus, I forget what it's called, the leadership program, the ACP course. I've heard great things about that from Adam Noel. He's done it. Trevor Swartz, who's a coordinator with the Rockies, he's told me about it. I've just heard a lot of people who've gone who say it's a great experience. I wanted to do that. Books I'm reading. I'm all over the place kind of when it comes to reading. Again, I right now I'm actually reading Game Changer by Ferguson Conley. It's taken a little bit to get into, but I like reading a lot of the Charlie Francis stuff. He's old school, but it's meat and potatoes, and it's funny. He talks about stuff, how he trained guys way back when, and it's crazy how similar it is to right now. You always get back to the basics. You go to those fads, you get back to the basics. I'm trying to think of what else. There's, who is it? Tudor Rampa, his periodization program for sport. That's for sport training. I read that a long, long, long time ago, and I kind of always have kept going back to it. It's a really good book just on periodization and starting from your end result and moving back. And it's not only in baseball, but a lot of sport. And then podcasts and stuff. Obviously, not just saying it because I'm on here, but I love this podcast. I think it's a great idea. I think that that's one thing that guys in professional baseball don't do is communicate with each other. I mean, there's really no secrets in my opinion. I mean, we're all going to squat. We're all going to deadlift. We're all going to lunge. I mean, it's who's going to teach it better. So I think that this and allowing us to share our ideas and just communicate on a different level is awesome. So I like this one. I like Ron McKeefrey's Chalk Talk. I think he has a wide variety of people, and I like the questions he asks. And then I like the stuff like you do at the end. You know, he asks people to let them know what they want to read or what they're looking into. So it kind of gives you some ideas. And then who's the other guy? I had it written down. Mike Robertson, Physical Preparation Podcast. I like him just because he has a variety of different things. It's not, you know, just speed. It's not just mobility. He has an indulgence of people on there. So I like listening to the podcast when I'm tired of reading on the bus and staring at an iPad. I'll kind of just throw in the headphones and do that. So.
Yeah, I had a feeling you were going to say Mike Robertson's. I love his. He's just very quirky, and he, like you said, he's got so many different people on there that you can always pick out anything you want to listen to on his. And McKeefer's is really good too. So I'll have to get in a Game Changer. I've heard good things. I haven't ordered it yet. It's on my list though.
It's good. It's getting better. It started off slow for me, but it's getting better.
Okay.
So. Okay. I want to look into Unplugged. Landau told me about this book, Unplugged. I'll have to think of. I'll send you the author.
Yeah, it's on my list. It's on my list. I think I saw Brian Mann or somebody on Twitter had recommended it, and it's on my list of books to read. So
yeah,
we'll have to talk later about that one and see how it goes.
Yeah.
But what advice do you have for others in the field? Like I said, you've been a coordinator. You've been in the minor leagues. You've been working with some high quality private facilities. What advice do you have for others in the field?
I guess my biggest thing is number one, leave your ego out the door. This is kind of alpha male / female society at times. And I just think we all have a lot to learn. I think, we're never going to figure it out. Nobody has yet. And I don't think they will. with sports science and technologies and things coming. I mean, I haven't been in the field that long. I've been in for 11 years-ish. And I mean, from when I started to where it is right now, it's awesome and it's mind-blowing how much it's grown. I mean, not only in baseball, but just in general with the technologies and everything else. So I guess I that goes back to your successful part. I think, I mean, to be successful and for us as a unit and as a profession to be successful, we need to start sharing more ideas and talking more and being open to everything. Again, you don't have to agree with it, but just listen to it. I mean, I'm a big believer in you could put a lot of tools in your toolbox and take something from everybody. So,
yeah, it goes back to the point you said earlier, trying to prove yourself wrong and having conversations or reading from things that don't agree with what you say. If you just go with people that agree with what you're saying, it's just kind of creating little cliques of people instead of talking to everybody and really conversing. So that's really good advice, man. Really, really good. If you have time, I'd like to do a lightning round. What are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. Let it rip.
All right, cool. So four questions. First question, who is your biggest influence in the field of strength and conditioning?
Biggest influence, strength and conditioning, I would say would be my first boss, Brian Jordan. He's with NSF now. He does a lot of stuff with them, but he was my coordinator, and then he was a big league strength coach with the Rockies. Actually still talk to him quite a bit. He was just a tremendous mentor. I think he, just being around him, I lived in Pueblo, Colorado. I was born and raised an hour and a half south of Denver. So when I got hired by the Rockies, I moved up to Denver, and he allowed me the opportunity in the off seasons to follow him around. So I helped him train the big league guys up here in the off seasons. And just being around him, watching him communicate with players, always being behind his shoulder, kind of seeing how he's talking to him, what he's saying. Same thing with the staff in the front office. I really, really learned a lot from him with how to communicate and how to be prepared. And again, just always have answers. I mean, these guys are always going to be asking us things. And so he, from the very, very beginning, you know, made it known that what you're going to say is Bible to a lot of these guys. So you better make sure if you know the answer, tell them. But if you don't know the answer, also be able to say, hey, look, I'm not too sure. Let me get back to you. I'll figure it out type of a thing. So, I mean, he was just big. He's just a big influence to me in general. So I'd have to say him.
He's definitely somebody that I have my eye on getting on the podcast. So
he's awesome.
Be prepared in the future to hear him speak on this. One piece of equipment to train with, what would it be?
Barbell. Barbell, bumper plates.
Barbell and bumper plates. Cool. Third one, biggest accomplishment professionally and or personally?
Professionally, I will say I'm not big into any type of awards because my reward is watching these guys grow. Honestly, that's why I like doing it. I like watching guys grow, but it was pretty cool to get the strength and conditioning coach of the year. I was fortunate enough to do that twice. And I just think that that's special to me because that comes from your peers. So professionally, that would probably be it. And then personally raising kids, man. Why? What? Same thing. You get to watch them grow and stuff. It's probably the hardest job you do, but it's pretty rewarding too. So,
congrats on strength and conditioning coach of the year. I didn't know that. But like you said, it is voted on by your peers. So clearly you're doing something right that is rubbed off on people. So congrats on that one. And then last one for me, any career other than strength and conditioning, what would you choose?
I want to be, let's see, I'm trying to think. I like teaching. I like mentoring. Probably something in like youth mentorship, maybe Boys and Girls Club type thing, something along those lines. Because I think that'd be fun for me if I couldn't do strength and conditioning. That or being a professional golfer. I think both those would be pretty good.
Okay. Golf is kind of hand in hand with baseball quite a bit. And teaching goes right into what we do anyways as strength coaches. So
yeah.
It's kind of in our blood to just educate people. So
right.
All right, man. It's been awesome. A lot of good information. If the listeners want to get in touch with you, where can we learn more from you? Are you on social media or are you not into that?
I love social media, but to be honest, they could follow me on Twitter. I'm at and then Al Sandoval 22. And then my email is asandoval@texasrangers.com. I will say on Twitter, I use it more as a resource for me. I follow a lot of people and that's where I get a lot of my readings and things from. I really don't post a lot, but I think I'm going to start putting some more things up and retweeting some more stuff here in the future, some things that I like and stuff like that.
For sure, man. I'm sure the listeners will enjoy that.
Yeah. Well, thanks for having me. I greatly appreciate it, Chris.
Yeah, man. Thanks for coming on and spending some time with me, and we'll be talking soon.
Absolutely. Look forward to it.
All right, everybody. That concludes our episode with Al. I hope you enjoyed it. He's got a lot of years of experience and shared a ton of good information with us. Three things that I took from Al: validate what you're doing by trying to prove yourself wrong, get back to the basics, and always push yourself to continue your education. With that being said, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll talk to you again on the next one.